Okay, let's get started. Grab a seat, grab a Bible. My name is Dave Householder, blessed to be your Bible teacher, and we're looking at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. There are Bibles on your table, I believe, or they're not. Huh. The Bible person is not here today, so you'll have to just make do as best you can. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. We're going through the book of Philippians, which is a book of encouragement on this Palm Sunday. I have a slide up in front of you that says we all want a chance to shine. We like it when we feel shiny. We like it when we feel alive. We like it when there's energy in us. We like it when we feel like there's a tailwind and not a headwind in life. We like it when we walk into a room and people smile. We like it when things are going good and our energy is strong. But some things can get in the way of shining. We've had a lot of clouds in the last couple of weeks, and we're very grateful for the rain we've been getting. But the truth is, clouds come in and they can cover up our view of the sun. Now, the sun is always there. And clouds don't blot the sun out. They just cover it for a while. There's something that can cover up, like a cloud, our shining. And today we're going to do something very practical, very practical message. And that's complaining. Complaining can keep us from shining. When I was a little kid in Sunday school, we sang the song about this little light of mine. Who remembers this little light of mine? I'm going to let it. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One of the things that keeps us from shining is complaining. And I promised you would get a gift today, and you're going to get a gift today. And this gift is going to be potentially altering, changing the direction of your life. How do we change the direction of a boat? With a rudder. Who here is... worked a motorboat in the back of a little, or an outboard motor in the back of a little boat. It's counterintuitive at first, because you point it one way to go the other way, and the other way to go the other way. Up on Shaver Lake, we rented one of those boats, and you kind of have to point it different ways to go different places. And what we're looking at here is the fact that your tongue is like a rudder that sets the direction of your life. And today's gift is going to help us, help me, I've already failed twice at this today, is going to help us to set the rudder in the right direction so that our life will go in a good direction so that we can continue to be shinier. Because when we complain, the clouds can cover up our shininess. Now, you may think, I never complain to yourself. I thought that too before I started this exercise. I said, well, this will be easy for me because I never complain. And the truth is, I find that I do. We learn a lot about ourselves when we carefully look at what's going on. So, let's look at this Bible passage. Do everything without grumbling, without complaining, or arguing, a spirit of disputation. Do everything without complaining, grumbling, or arguing. That seems impossible, but we can improve. Verse 15, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will what? Shine among them like stars in the sky. And we want to feel shiny. We don't want to feel cloudy. We don't want to feel overcast. Who here has felt an overcast mood from time to time where you just there's no break in the clouds? It's just gray everywhere. Our friend Michelle is here from Minnesota, and this time of the year, there can be a lot of gray. The snow is melting, the dirt on the road, and the gray sky, and the whole thing. There's not much color. And we don't want to go through life like that. And we can tell whether we're shining or whether we're overcast. So these two verses go together. If we can get a handle on our complaining and our griping, we can set the rudder to move in the right direction so that we can properly shine and properly be what we were intended to be. Now, people say the Bible's not very relevant. Who thinks that a warped and crooked generation continues to apply throughout history? There's plenty of warped and crooked wherever we go. What's really funny, we talked about this in the prayer meeting, is how many people say things have never been worse than they are. And I'm thinking, what world are you living in? It was at Bill's birthday party this weekend, and we feasted in a way that Louis XIV couldn't have feasted a couple centuries ago. You have instant contact information with this little computer you have in your pocket. You've got a car that works way better than cars did 50, 60 years ago. And they last a lot. Who remembers when cars didn't go 200,000 miles? There's no way. Things are improving a lot. I've got disposable contact lenses in. Life expectancy in Africa is twice what it was when I was born. There's never been a time in American history where a child is less likely to be the victim of violence. Never, statistically. There are some cars that still don't have a fatality. Some of the models are so safe. Think about that. Things are continuing to improve. Is there bad stuff out there? Sure there is. It's never been as bad in this country as it is right now. This is what's great about being old. I remember 1968. Who remembers 1968 and the riots when they were like today's stuff with a bad attitude? My dad, I was scared. I said to my dad, what's happening? Because our town was coming apart. My dad says, we could have civil war, but I'll take care of you. He was serious. I mean, it was 68 was scary. Bill, you said you saw places in Chicago where there was people shooting from the tops of overpasses and all kinds of things. I'm not saying everything's great. All I'm saying is there's nothing new under the sun. And we can improve our culture by how we set the rudder, the tongue, which moves the rest of the boat. How we speak creates the weather around which we live. So, we want to create a no whining zone. Whining is unattractive. I've known people who wonder why they're lonely. And they complain all the time. And I'm saying, well, basically whining repels people. Who says, you know, I'm looking for a spouse and what I'm really looking for is a complainer. Top of the line. Look at the dating sites. I'm seeking somebody who whines, complains, and gripes. Nobody's looking for that. So, something bad happens in our lives. I'm not talking tragic. We're going to talk about grief in just a minute. Grief is something different. I'm talking regular stuff that goes wrong. Like your car not starting, like something breaking, like spilling something. I'm talking something goes wrong. And stuff will go wrong. Something bad happens. You've got three options. Number one, do something about it. If something goes wrong, fix it. Do something about it. Change your attitude towards it, whatever. Number two, let it go. We don't have to fight every battle. We can fix it. We can let it go. Or we can gripe, complain, and whine. I guarantee you things are going to go wrong this week. That's a promise in the Bible that people don't like to look at. People say, oh, all of God's promises are wonderful. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise from God. We will have trouble. And as you get older, you realize that that just keeps coming. I kept thinking that when I was in my 50s, I would be in the clear. Because people in their 50s often have like houses that are organized. I remember that when I was younger, a young married person. I look at people in their 50s and their houses look nice, you know, and they kind of put together. Well, we've kind of become people like that, but stuff keeps happening. It just keeps happening. There is no point at which you get beyond that turbulence. Life has turbulence, and it will continue. And every time we run into that turbulence, we have a choice. Number one, read it out loud with me. Do something about it. Number two, let it go. Or number three, gripe, complain, whine. Now, sometimes you have to decide whether it's number one or number two. Some things we just have to let it go. I'm just not going to get worried about that. Oh my, somebody said something online I don't agree with. Let it go. What a shock. Someone said something online you don't agree with. Who thinks there's stuff online that you don't agree with? Somebody said something on the news I don't agree with. Let it go. We don't have to fight every battle. Sometimes we can do something about it. Who here has ever heard of the Serenity Prayer? Recovery. Do things, fix things that you can fix, let things go that you have to let go, and the wisdom to know the difference. Number three is almost never a good option. But it can become a habit. Now, please hear me. Repeat after me. If I'm a complainer, I'm not a bad person. It's just a bad habit. And it can become a habit. It can become a habit, and it can become a very subtle habit. It sneaks in. And it can become part of our inner monologue. We can complain interior in our minds without saying anything. That basic, if you'll write this down, grievance orientation. A grievance orientation towards life. I've got grievances. As opposed to a gratefulness orientation towards life. You're one or the other basically with your default setting. Your default setting is basically grateful or basically grievance-oriented. And usually, if we're grievance-oriented, it's just a bad habit. And bad habits can be fixed. And today, we're going to give you a tool to fix the habit. Now, I want to differentiate between three things. People say, well, I just want to get something off my chest. Well, there are some things you have to. Now, please hear me. If you're going through grief, it's different. Grief you must share with people. Grief is serious. Grief is not something you stuff. If you lose a loved one, if your marriage falls apart, if you lose your livelihood, if you go bankrupt, if you get hammered with a horrific diagnosis, it's okay to work through the grief. Grief is not whining. Grief is important. Linda over here led grief groups for years. Grief is so important to share what's going on because it's a process. But other things, folks, we put in the same pile as grief, and that's not psychologically, spiritually accurate. Anger. Oh, I just want to get this off my chest. Studies have shown, and I've been through this personally before I ever moved here, so I know this firsthand, that raging or losing your temper just makes you better at losing your temper. It doesn't improve the situation. You can share how you're feeling about things without that hot feeling in your eyes. Expressing anger angrily will just make you better at being angry. It just does. It creates a 405 freeway of anger in your head. And it just keeps adding lanes. Every time we rage or lose it, we get better at it, at being angry. And it could become an addiction because it's quite a feeling. It's like, you know, when those motorcycles come by you with the loud pipes? It feels like that. It feels kind of good in a dark way. And we have to avoid that. Anger and grief are two different things. Grief, you have to get off your chest. Anger will just make you better at being angry. Express your anger, but do it with people you love, people you trust, and do it in a way that's not raging. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anger is one of the easiest things to fix. And sometimes we have a right to be angry about things, and we have to share that with people, but we have to do it in a non-raging sort of way. If we lose our temper, we just get better at it. The third thing is complaining, whining about every little thing that happens. And this is just an unattractive habit. And it sneaks up on us. And next thing you know, we're complaining about everything. Wendy's mom, I loved her dearly. One of my favorite people, got into a habit of it. Every time the room was too warm, it's too hot in here. What's really sad is their marriage toward the end of their lives started coming undone. They've been married their whole lives, their whole adult lives. And the complaining that she was doing, which she wasn't even really aware of, was driving her husband away. And he passed away and they weren't on good terms. And it was just because of a bad habit. The main thing that pushed them apart was her complaining about the heat. Because she just, whenever the room was a little bit warm, she would just, oh, it's hot in here. And finally, her husband says, I know it's hot in here. You don't have to say this all the time. You say it like 30 times a day. It can become a habit. It was just a habit. She didn't mean anything didn't mean any harm by it. But it was tragic how their marriage ended. A really good marriage. A marriage which I aspire to. Unraveled at the very end. Because of constant complaining. And it can happen. A lot of things we complain about too here in Orange County are first world problems. Are you familiar with the term first world problems? First world problems are problems we have here in America that people in the rest of the world would laugh about. I love this. Put the next one up here. There we go. Too much balsamic vinegar on my salad and now I'm dying. Oh, my nail. This Wi-Fi is terrible at this Starbucks. So many things we complain about, folks, we need to get a life, really. I mean, it's just not that big a deal. We've got people who can't find clean water in Africa, and we're complaining about the Wi-Fi. A lot of things we complain about just aren't that big a deal. Oh, my magazine came in the mail. It's all rumpled. Get over it. Let's read this out loud. 1, 2, 3. Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of someone else's mouth, but not when it's out of your own. I was unaware that I complained. I really was unaware. I really thought that I was the kind of person who never complains about things, and I've caught myself doing it. I do the poor me thing. And next thing you know, I'm circling the drain emotionally, and I make myself go there. There's no reason to go there. Most of our first world problems that really aren't a big deal. Somebody said once, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. That's overstated. Some stuff is not small stuff. There's stuff that is important. But most of the stuff we get worked up over is just, it's not. I've seen your daughters worked up over things that probably aren't going to change the world. You know, they do get escalated sometimes, and that's okay at their age. But at our age, we ought to start paying attention to a little perspective on things. Complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of someone else's mouth, but not when it comes out of your own. Griping. Why do we gripe? Number one, to get attention. That's what I do. When I want attention from Wendy, I'm going to start griping about something. Come comfort me, because this isn't good. Remove responsibility, because we start to blame what? The system, other people, the man, whoever, my boss, my work, the weather. People in Orange County complain about the weather really need to go live in Bemidji for a while. Inspire envy. We do this by complaining about things which make us look good. Oh, my Rolls Royce just isn't running right. Oh, this brand new suit I got that was so expensive, it's not as nice as what I'm used to. Oh, I just can't believe I'd want to eat in a place like that. This food is terrible. I can't eat here. I want to eat in a better place. So you're implying that I'm better than this. Who's heard complaining like that? It basically focuses around Newport. I didn't say that, but there's some of that there. Power. There is a veiled threat to some complaining. You ever have people who are kind of scary in the break room who are complaining about stuff? And the implication is, if you don't go along with what I'm saying, I might complain about you when you're not around. It's a way to manipulate people. Excuse poor performance. Well, in this economy, I can't, you know, what do you expect? Oh, you know, the way things have been, you know, at my age, I can't do anything. Whatever. G-R-I-P-E. Notice how it spells gripe? Get attention, remove responsibility, aspire envy, power, or excuse poor performance. So, today's gift, I'd like you to grab one of the purple arm things here. The purple wristbands. Pass those out. Repeat after me. Nobody has to do this. It's just a tool. It wasn't invented by Jesus. It's not in the Bible. It just helps. Okay. It's just rubber, folks, okay? But it does help. There's a pastor in Missouri. His name is Will Bowen. And Will Bowen was preaching through Philippians, and he came to this verse, Philippians 2:14. And he came up with this idea. Rather than just tell people not to complain, let's give them a tool for doing this. And he came up with these purple bracelets. And he says, we're going to put these on, and if you complain, you switch it to the other hand. And the goal is to get 21 days without complaining. I got a head start on you for 2 or 3 weeks because these came early. And I have switched it back and forth so many times that I don't know which hand it's on when I look down. Daryl asked me this morning, how long has it been on your right hand? I said, since this morning. And I got switched to my left hand because Nancy over here and I were talking and I started complaining. So now it's on my left hand. I was complaining, Nancy. I was complaining about a family member of mine. And so these things can happen. We get into this cycle of complaining rather than letting it go or doing something about it. Rather than what? Let it go or doing something about it. Now, please hear me. I'm not talking about major things. When major things happen, when your kid gets in a terrible car accident, when Eric gets diagnosed with cancer, when these kind of things happen, these are big deals. And you can definitely go through a grieving process through that. But I'm talking about normal stuff that gets us during the day that puts us in this mode. So what you do is you put it on your wrist, and the goal is to go 21 days without switching it. 21 days without switching it. If you complain, switch wrists, and then you start over on day one. So my day one now is March 25th because of what I said to Nancy. There's no shame in switching wrists. It's not like, bad boy, you had to switch your wrists. There's no Robin Hood police that's going to go around and say, Rosalie, that was on your left hand last week. What's it doing on your right hand? No one's going to do that. And nobody has to do it. But who wants to be more aware of how we talk? I mean, it's just a tool for getting more aware of how we talk. And I find myself, when I don't want to complain, because I'm a pastor and I shouldn't be complaining, I complain to myself and just mumble and grumble and murmur. What's that? Here's the deal. Gloria asked, do we change it if we mumble to ourselves? It's up to you. It's up to you. There's no rules here. It's up to you. Don't be too hard on yourself so that like 73 years, you're still switching it back and forth. And we bury you at the Robin Wood Cemetery someday if there's ever one. And you're holding your arm up because the purple thing is still on there. Never got it. On the other hand, don't cut yourself a break too often. Who thinks we can cut ourselves breaks on all kinds of things? The kind of people who you golf with to cheat. You know who they are. You know, I got a 4 there or a 5. You saw them get 7. We tend to cut ourselves a lot of slack. So the two gutter balls of the bowling alley are one, cutting yourself too much slack, and the other one is being too hard on yourself. And every person has to decide for himself or herself where that line is. So you get to decide where that is. Continue on your path. Watch your words change your life. And your words will change your life because your words create reality. Let me say this again. Our words create reality. Crystal and Jacob when I did their wedding. They still like each other, even though they're sitting farther apart. But did their wedding, best, probably the coolest wedding I've ever been at. They spoke vows to each other. And guess what? Legally speaking, and Nancy's a judge, she could tell you this, she's a lawyer. It's the vows that are witnessed that marry you. It's not me that marries them. It's the words they speak. And the witnesses write that they saw this. After the vows, the couple is married. We call into existence all kinds of things. A marriage. How did God create the world? Speaking it forth. We speak forth all kinds of things. And we speak forth good things, or we speak forth bad things. If we needlessly complain, we're creating bad weather around us. We're creating overcast weather. And what we do then is we live in the weather we create. And we wonder why life stinks. Well, we've just said a lot of stinky words. This has to do with bad language, too. The D word, the S word, the, you know, fill in the blank. Folks, the S word. Picture that for a moment, will you? Why would we want that floating around our heads? The more we speak it, the more of it there is. Now, my grandma's from North Dakota, and the S word was just a noun. But for most of us here in California, it's what we say when we're upset. This can really help clean up our language. Why clean up our language? Because we're prudes? No, because we want good weather around us. And our words create the weather system. You ever notice how fun it is to be around people who don't complain and use good, positive language? They're great to be around. Guess how many of these have been given out by this church in Missouri? 10 million. 10 million. The pastor's been on Oprah, he's been on Dr. Oz, he's been on the evening talk shows. Maya Angelou got one. People want to work on the way they talk. 10 million of these things have been handed out. Or a little church in Missouri. And the guy who invented it has never gotten to 21 before 3 months. He did it again recently. He says the average is between 4 and 8 months. It takes between 4 and 8 months to really develop a verbal habit that's positive. Now, please hear me. This doesn't mean you can't say things are bad. Somebody gets hit by a car. You don't say, bless his heart. Hope he's not dead. No. You can say things are bad. You can speak out and say, this is not good. But saying something's not good and doing something about it is not complaining. Sometimes it's being prophetic. We can tell the truth about the way things are. We don't have to fib. We don't have to say, oh, this is great. I still remember my mom. My mom uses a lot of positive language. She was a Schuller devotee. Anybody here remember the days when Schuller was doing his positive thing? I still remember watching a 4th of July thing at a lake resort, and they had a raft out there, and they were shooting off fireworks from the raft. All of a sudden, the raft exploded, and all these guys are jumping in the water. And my dad says, I better get in there and help people. And my mom says, don't worry, honey, it's just the finale. Just putting too positive a spin on it. I mean, these guys are jumping off the boat, you know, the whole thing. So it doesn't mean we have to lie. You can tell the truth about things that aren't good. If your transmission blows out, you don't have to say, oh, the engine's just going through a cycle. You can say, my transmission is broken. You can say, I've got a diagnosis of this. That's okay. But do you see where you cross the fine line into whining? It can happen. So we'll see what happens as we go through this here. So as Gloria asked, where's the line? The line is up to you. I'm a little bit harder on myself here because I realize that a lot of my grumbling is internal. And I want to stop that. I want to stop the inner grumbling. Now, some of you may not have to do that. Some of you just want to work on external. Some of you just want to work on really bad language. I don't know what it is. For yourself, figure out what you need to do. This is from the book of James. James chapter 4. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. The tongue is like a rudder. How we speak determines where the boat goes. Who wants the boat to go to a nice sunny place? Then use good words. The opposite of grievance orientation is gratefulness orientation. And that doesn't mean being grateful for bad things, but just finding a basic gratefulness for life. We were in the prayer meeting over here, and Tamara started talking about, during her prayer, about what a beautiful day it was. And folks, we live in Orange County. Do you know that Orange County and San Diego in the whole world have the most predictable weather? Almost always nice. I love to text my friends in Minnesota from the beach on New Year's. How are you doing? You know, that kind of stuff. I'm sitting in the sun. Just Rose Bowl weather. But we can always find something to be grateful for and to cultivate gratefulness. Pushes grievances out. And the more grateful we are, the closer we get to God. Gratefulness is the royal road to God's presence. This is from Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and what? Thank Him in gratefulness. We should find gratefulness in all of our prayers, even our tough prayers. Then you will experience God's peace. Then your boat starts to sail into the sunny territory, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Great memory verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I live on Main Street in Huntington Beach, which is really interesting. Like, there's a Bible passage that says in the book of Acts, they can't be drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. They've not lived on Main Street. We see all kinds of things. I've had people urinating in my front yard, and I go behind them and scare them while they're doing it. It's really kind of fun, but it's interesting. But Main Street, depending on what part of the day it is, you can walk to the pier from my house, and many of you walked that with me. Almost always one side of the street is shady and one is sunny. It's the same journey. You get to pick what side you're on. Are we going to pick the grateful side or the grievance side? Both are true, aren't they? It's always shadowy here. It's always dark here. It's always, oh, birds. Just the wind is cold. Or you could walk on the sunnier side by using good words. Same trip, different side of the road. And we always get to choose which side we're on. I'm going to buy some of this stuff. My headlights are getting a little cloudy on my Ford Explorer, which is worth all of $900. But there's this stuff they say, I'm going to buy it because it's supposed to clear up the headlights. And what we do when we work on our words is we start to clear up the cloudiness so that we can shine. So we can shine. We want to shine better. There's two kinds of people in the world. There's people that walk in the room like this. Have you ever seen people that suck the energy out of the room when they walk in with just need? And some Christians think that's a virtue. Oh, I'm so suffering for Jesus. Well, good. I wish I could die for my faith. No, they don't go that far, but there's people who just, the grievance orientation is hard to be around. And there's other people walk in the room and they shine. They shine in the room and they brighten it up. One of our best shiners is our youngest guy, Everett. Everett's got a lot of shine in him. And Jesus says we're to be like children. We often culture it out of our kids and try to make them look more like this. Junior high does this to a lot of us. But we can recover the shine by recovering our words. Invite the worship team back up. So we're going to close with this verse. This is the verse we started with, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Don't complain and argue. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Does it say to complain about the warped and crooked generation? Did Paul go out and say, it is a warped and... It's telling the truth. It is. We live in a warped and crooked generation. It's okay to tell the truth about things. He did. But we want to shine in that and not complain about it. Who thinks our news media and social media has turned into a complaining cesspool? Yeah, we don't need that. We need to shine among them like the stars in the sky. Let's stand. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd make us aware right now of our tongues. Our tongues are a small muscle in the body, but by far more powerful than our quads, our hamstrings, our biceps, our triceps. Because the tongue is the rudder of the boat of the body. And Lord, we pray that you would teach me to get rid of that last cloudiness I've got of grumbling so that I can enjoy life, that I can seek the joy of your presence. Let you be the king of my heart, Lord. For Lord, I do a lot of things because I like them, but behind all of them is beauty, and behind all of that beauty is you. I just want to be connected, Lord, with the root of my existence. And every time I do that, there's joy, whether it's out in nature, whether that's when the worship team is singing. I want joy to be my default setting. Not lamenting, not grievance. Lord, I am so blessed that you made me a person. We all are. We're so blessed that you made us a self-aware part of creation, with a great mystery of consciousness, which no scientist can figure out. We have a unique perspective, each of us, on everything around us. It's just ours. We're so blessed to be brought into your dance, into your world. We pray, Lord, that that gratefulness would continue to flow. We pray, Lord, that each of us would learn some things this week about the way we speak. We pray this in Jesus' name.